For my last sermon, we started into the book of 1 Samuel, and I think I ended in chapter 7, and there in chapter 7, as I was preparing for that message, I knew that my next message was going to be preparatory service, and as I was preparing that message, the Lord showed me a verse in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and it jumped out at me, and it was like, that's your preparatory service message. And so I was thinking on that, and I was preparing that message, and all of a sudden I realized it's going to be Easter. And so I had this message mostly prepared, and now it's Easter as well, and so what do you do with all of that? Well, I cannot ignore that it's Easter this morning, and I want to just talk a little bit about that, but my message this morning is going to be focused more, it's a preparatory message. As you think about preparing for communion. But I do want to go to Matthew chapter 28, a few thoughts on the resurrection. And this past week, last Sunday night, I had a devotional, and Friday night I had the devotional, and we were kind of looking through the events that lead up to the resurrection day. And let's read here the first, let's go 7 verses here in Matthew chapter 28. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," that was Sunday morning, it says, "came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." And just imagine, let's just, in our minds, let's walk this path with them. And it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear did the keepers, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." What a morning. Can you imagine the ladies as they were there, as they arrived there at that tomb? You know, we can reflect back on that week and all that happened in the week before. And you get to Friday, and it would seem like all of their hopes and their dreams and just kind of vanished. There Jesus was crucified. He was buried. He was put in a tomb. And then, Sunday morning, we go. We go to that tomb. They're going to go and they're going to anoint his body. And somewhere along the line, there's this earthquake. And I think it was in my notes to share on Friday night, and I don't know that I even said it. There was an earthquake when Jesus gave up the ghost. When Jesus died, it says that the earth did quake and the rocks were rent. They were torn apart. Graves were opened. There was an earthquake that Sunday morning as well. The angel's message, he's not here. He's not here. He is risen. He said, come. They had the invitation. Come and see. Come and look. They had the opportunity to look into that tomb. When we were in Israel, probably not the same tomb, but we had the opportunity to step inside a tomb as well. And it was empty. He wasn't there. He is risen. Did you ever stop to think about the implications that are all wrapped around the resurrection? Think of the significance in the resurrection. How would it be different if there was no resurrection? What does the resurrection mean to you, to your faith? It's something for you to think about maybe this afternoon. Just think about the significance of the resurrection. What is all centered around that? What does it mean? I found an article that gave 10 points of the significance of the resurrection. And it would have made an Easter message this morning, but we're not going to go there. But just a couple of quick things. In 1 Corinthians 15, 17, and it says, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Friends, this morning, if it wasn't for Easter morning, our faith would be in vain. There would be no reason to be here this morning. Our salvation is dependent upon it. Our faith is anchored in the resurrection. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Our justification, our being cleansed, being made just as if we did not sin. It's hinged on that resurrection. Friends, this morning, He is not here. He is risen. Our Savior is risen. Hallelujah. That's our Easter message. Now, let's go to a prepared message. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Just to kind of refresh you where we were at, the setting that we find here in 1 Samuel. In chapter 4, Israel's armies were defeated by the Philistines. The Philistines took the Ark of God. And everywhere the Philistines took the Ark, their trouble followed them. And finally they said, enough of this, and they send it back to Israel. Israel was at a place where they had fallen away from God. They were involved in idol worship, and they simply were not faithful. But in chapter 7, in the end of verse 2, it says there that all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And so they have this turning to God begin to happen. And they were desiring God. And in verse 3, Samuel tells Israel what must be done. What you need to do. And this verse 3 is what I want to look at this morning as we think about preparing our hearts for communion. Having our hearts conditioned correctly to share in the communion service. Verse 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. It says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods in Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Samuel begins as he tells the children of Israel, he says, if you do this, and he goes on and he gives them four things that must be done. He says, if you do these, it's four actions. He says, if you return, if you put away, if you prepare, and if you serve, then God is going to do his part. This morning, I want to think about those four actions that Samuel was calling Israel to do. The third action, I'm not going to take them in order. I'm going to save the third action, the prepare your hearts unto the Lord. I'm going to save that for last because I see that as the all-inclusive here. That action includes the others. I'm entitling the message this morning, Prepare Your Hearts Unto the Lord. And so we want to begin and we want to look at these actions. So he says, if you do, return. Return unto the Lord with all your hearts. The idea here of return means to turn back. It means that to return means that you left where you were. If you're going to go back, if you're going to return, that means you're no longer where you used to be. This morning, you left home and you came to church. Lord willing, I'm assuming that you plan to return home. You're going to go back home again. Return. There's point A. Point A was at home. You left home. You left point A. You came to point B. Point B is at church today. Maybe you have another stop. Maybe you're going away for lunch. Maybe there's a point C. But ultimately, tonight, you're going to be back at point A. You're going to return. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3, it says, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, it says he repented himself and he brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He brought again. He returned. That money that he was paid for betraying Jesus, he went back. He returned it back to where it came from. Return. Let's take this to a spiritual level now. As we think about this, returning unto the Lord with all your hearts. So we talked about different points. So let's say this morning that point A in your life is a place where you felt as close to God as you have ever felt. Maybe that was at your salvation experience when you accepted the Lord. You just felt the closeness of God. Maybe it was at a recommitment, a place of recommitment. Maybe it was somewhere else. But there's a point in your life where God was just really close. You felt the nearness of God. All right, that's point A. Are you still there? Are you at point A this morning? If not, why not? If not, who moved? Did God move? Or did you move? God did not move. Maybe this morning you're at point B. Point B is not a bad place. It can be a good place. But it's not point A. It's not that you're living in sin or anything like that. It's not a bad place. But it's just not as close to God as point A. Maybe this morning, you're at point C. Point C, maybe it's a little sketchy. Maybe it's a place where we're letting God down pretty badly. Not that we've lost our salvation, and it's not that we're doomed for hell, but we're not deep in sin, but it's just, it's another step from point B. Maybe this morning you're at point D. Point D, that's getting to the line of maybe getting close to losing our salvation, where we really have walked away from God. Point E, we could say maybe that's, you've lost it. You've gone off the deep end, no longer serving the Lord. This morning, I'd like to suggest that to be anywhere other than point A means that we have backslidden. I say that carefully. At point B, I said that it's not necessarily a bad place, but yet it's not point A, so that means we slid back a little bit. We've backslidden. The call this morning that Samuel gave to Israel and the call that I'm calling us to is to return. To return. Return unto the Lord with all your heart. Come back to that place where we've experienced that closeness and that nearness with God. I believe that preparatory service is a time to look at our spiritual lives and evaluate where we're at. How am I doing? Do I need to return? Have I left point A? Lamentations 3 and verse 40 says this, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord." Return back. Let us search. Let us try. Let us look at our hearts. Let us evaluate where we're at. And let's return. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Again, a call to return. Return. Isaiah 55, verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon." Friends, this morning, to prepare our hearts unto God is to return. It's to return unto God. To return unto God, I believe that also it means to draw nigh unto God. And James talks about that. James 4:8, it says, "Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Draw nigh. That closeness again, that point A. Let's return there. I'm calling us to return. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Samuel said, "Return unto the Lord with all your heart." Not half-hearted, not three quarters of your heart, but all your heart. To prepare our hearts unto God means to return, and to return with all of our hearts. The second thing that Samuel called them to was to put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. To put away means to turn aside, to depart, to to avoid, to come to an end, to remove, take away, put aside, leave undone, retract, reject, abolish. Put it away. In Genesis 35, verse 2, it says, Jacob here is talking. It says, "Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments." Joshua called the children of Israel here in chapter 24, verse 23, says, "Now therefore put away, he saith, the strange gods which are among you and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." 1 Corinthians 13, 11 says, "For when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Put away. Ephesians 4, 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Isaiah 1:16, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before thine eyes. Cease to do evil." You get the idea, right? The put away, get rid of it, put it away, avoid it, reject it, put away. So the call here is to put away the strange gods in Ashtaroth from among you. That's what Samuel was calling the children of Israel to. The strange gods. I believe it's a call for us to turn from idolatry. It's a call to maintain a pure and a devoted relationship with God. The first of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This morning, what are the strange gods in our lives? The strange gods, the idols. So the children of Israel, we understand that they worship the idols of the Philistines and the other nations around them. And there was where they had these big stone carvings or whatever, and they would bow to them and they would do that. We don't have that, do we? We don't have idol worship, idols that we set up, that we go to some temple and some big idol that we bow down and we worship. Idols that are made of stone or wood or whatever, but is there idols? Is there small g gods in our lives? An idol can be those things which we give our time and our strength and our energy and our finances to. Things that take priority over God in our lives. Things that become more important to us than our relationship with the Lord. It becomes an idol, a small g god. Maybe sometimes our idols, maybe they are made of chrome and steel and glass and maybe wood. Our idols could be money or material goods, possessions, real estate, businesses. Maybe it's our pleasure seeking or our hobbies or sports or technology, and we could go on and on. What is it in our lives that gets all the attention? That we spend too much time that comes between our relationship with God. I would suggest this morning that the strange God in our guides in our lives, probably these things in themselves are probably not wrong, or most times are not wrong. But it's when we get them out of order, when it becomes more important than God. The position that they hold in our lives is the problem. To prepare our hearts unto the Lord means that we need to put them away. In other words, we need to get things in the right order. We need to put away all the strange gods in our lives. Get them in the right order. Put away. The third action that I want to look at here in this text this morning is the idea of serving Him. It says, serve Him only. The call is to serve God, to work for God, to labor, to serve. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4, it says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice. Ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him. The call to serve. Jesus told Satan as Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4 and chapter 4, verse 10, it says, then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Him only shalt thou serve. So the call this morning is to serve. The question is, how? How do we do that? Well, I believe our service needs to come from the heart. In Joshua 24, verse 14, it says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. So Joshua was calling the children of Israel to serve the Lord and to do it in sincerity and in truth. I see that as coming from the heart. Sincerity means completely, whole, entire. Truth means faithfully, reliable, trustworthy, stability. Serve the Lord in sincerity and truth. Serve Him with all of our hearts. I believe the call to serve means that we need to have a kingdom-focused mentality. Our service needs to be kingdom-focused. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our service needs to be kingdom-focused. Our service needs to be singular. In other words, one master. Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If we're going to serve Him and serve Him only, that means it is singular. There is no two masters. We have one master to serve. It cannot be split. You cannot serve two. It's one or the other. Who are we serving? I believe that our service to God it includes all of life's activities. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatsoever you do, everything that you do, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So our doing, our serving is as unto the Lord. Everything we do is about serving and serving the Lord. If you cannot serve the Lord in the activity that you're doing, then the question is, should you be doing the activity? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, inclusive of all of life's activities. Our service is also to be to the least. You know the account in Matthew chapter 25 when the king is dividing the sheep from the goats? It says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. To serve others is like we're serving Jesus. Serving others, whether it's in prison or whether it's giving a drink of cold water to somebody who is thirsty, and you know the whole list there, visiting the sick and so on. When we do it to the least, we're doing it unto Jesus. This morning we're talking about preparing our hearts unto the Lord. To prepare our hearts unto the Lord means that we will serve Him and serve Him only. The fourth area that I want to think about here this morning is the phrase that he uses here, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. So this morning, our focus is on preparation. Preparing to participate in communion on Sunday. Preparing our hearts. Spiritually preparing my heart to be a part of that communion experience. It means that we're going to repent and return if we need to. It means that we're going to put away those things that are stealing my allegiance to God. It means that we are going to serve Him and serve Him only. Everything I do is about serving my Lord. And we can do that at work. We can do that at school. We can do that everywhere we go. The activities that we're involved in, it's about serving the Lord. As I thought about those actions and I thought about preparing our hearts, there's a word that came to my mind that seemed to kind of summarize it all. And that is the word surrender. Surrender. You know, it's really about a life of surrender. A life of commitment and a life of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I invite you to get your Zion's Praises songbook out. And song number 426. And I've asked Kyron to lead us in this here after I am finished this morning. But I'd like for us to look at the words of this song. These words are powerful. I surrender all. The song goes on, verse 1, it says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. As we think about the words of this song, my question for us is, are we there? Are you there? Am I there? Is this my testimony? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I see this song describing a heart that is prepared unto the Lord. Verse 2. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. I give them all, surrender them all. Verse 3, all to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. Verse 5, all to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Is that your testimony this morning? Is that my testimony? As we think about a heart that is prepared. Back to our text verse here in closing this morning. Samuel was speaking to the children of Israel. This morning I'm speaking to the house of Word of Life. Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do, if you do these things, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, if you do put away the strange gods, if you prepare your hearts unto the Lord, if you serve Him only, He will, God will, deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. What did that mean for Israel? For Israel to be delivered out of the hand of the Philistines, it meant freedom for them. It meant victory. It meant deliverance from bondage. Isn't that the same for us today? If we do these things, then God will give us victory. He will give us freedom. He will deliver us from our bondages. He will bless us. We will experience God's nearness, God's closeness, His presence, His peace. And we will have a beautiful experience sharing in communion. If we do, God will. Let's pray. Father God, thank you this morning for these verses that you give to us here. Yes, we recognize that it was a call to the children of Israel, but it's a challenge for us today as well. God, as we think about the seriousness of participating in the communion service next week, you talk there in 1 Corinthians about that, about participating unworthily. God, we want to be worthy to participate. Father, help us to look into our lives, to evaluate where we're at. Father, do we need to return? Father, is there things that we need to put away? Father, are we serving you fully and completely? Father, prepare our hearts so that we can just experience your blessings in our lives. And Father, that we can share in that beautiful service next Sunday. God, do a work in our hearts and our lives, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Song number 426, if you aren't ready there. Know me, I